Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man whose breath smells rather too much of garlic, for which I apologise to people in the front row. It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much! Oh yes! I had I made myself a nice lunch of spaghetti olio aglio pepperoncino. It's pretty easy to make, but there's a lot of garlic in it. Can you smell it, Andy? No? Okay, cool. It'll start seeping out of the pores. It's still me from before. You recognise me? I had a jacket on, didn't I? Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Oh, I was talking to John Dalton the other day, who I hardly remind you, whose model of the atom held that atoms were indivisible and indestructible, and that all atoms are of a given element are identical in mass. Was he right? Was he right, Dave? He's about wrong on both, isn't he? Double wrong. He calls it realist, but anyway, he's realist. Slightly different tack on the. So, welcome to the show. I've been stone clearing for about 2 months now. I've got some more observational comedy about for the stone clearers. Because it's autumn time, and that makes it difficult for, as I record this, it's difficult because the leaves start coming down in the, you know, in the crepuscular light of the twilight. Very easy to mistake those for stones, isn't it? Those guys know what I'm talking about. And also in the morning time, when the dawn, as the light shines in a different way, and I think we've all experienced this, haven't you, when the ground spiders spin a web over the soil, that can catch the light, can't it? And they're... I think it's a stone. It's not. It's a web. It's literally a web of lies. And I think we've all been there. And there's a dog shit, and you pick that up. Thinking we've all been there. And also the dog shit sometimes goes a bit furry, don't it? If you notice that, people live in the countryside. It's good. Keep going through it. The winter's a hard time for the stone clearers, but it's worth it. I'll show you some pictures soon of how the wall's coming on. Sometimes I walk along and I just think, God, I can't see any difference. Am I literally just wasting my time here? But it's like new stones turn up every day. And I had a ladybird in the house, late ladybird in autumn. That was kind of weird. It was kind of crazy. It's flying around looking a bit crazy. And then it flew in the bath. And then I got it out of the bath and saved it and put it on the side of the bath. And that red, I thought that ladybird the next day would be my ladybird slave. Look after me. It didn't. It just died.
But it reminds, who was alive in 1976 when all those ladybirds attacked? Anyone remember that? Remember that, David? I was sitting on Weston-super-Mare Beach and the sky went dark. I'm not even joking. And then the whole beach was just covered in ladybirds and they were angry and they were biting. Who remembers this? I once met a ladybird expert who was so impressed to have met me, of someone who experienced the 1976 ladybird storms. She had sex with me. It was amazing. And I'm wondering, was that a ladybird? Was that a lady or was it a ladybird in human form that had come to thank me? I haven't gone mental. So we'll be talking more about ladybirds and having sex with people in insects in human form in this podcast. That's my guess. Our guest this week is probably best known for playing Detective Tickleberry in Crumbs. And it's hard for me to know whether that is like people in New Zealand are going, God, fuck yeah, she is best known for that. Or whether that is as ridiculous as it sounds. Will you please welcome, I hope, the amazing Rose Mattafeo! Thank you very much. Thank you. Sit down. Sorry about the garlicky smell.
I can't sense the garlic at all.
Oh, it's going to come across. Don't worry. During the evening.
Jeez.
It's going to come out.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's going to come out.
It's going to come out.
Where? Thanks for that. That was the weirdest thing I've ever heard, the intro I've ever heard.
Yeah, is that, were you in that?
Yeah, I was.
What was it?
I was a strawberry. I was a strawberry detective.
Yeah.
We investigated some crimes. mostly murders. No, that was a joke. It was a children's cartoon, and I played Detective Tickleberry. Yeah.
So was it a big part in the... It was
not
only
a huge
one episode,
part. It took me a day to record, but yeah. You know, it was good. My most proudest my proudest moment.
It's not on Netflix.
No, not on Netflix. I mean, not, I don't think available anywhere. To be fair, only in our imaginations and memories.
We'll look out for it. What about? I nearly chose Sam in Pocket Protectors.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Pocket Protectors.
Pocket Protectors is when I played a pencil.
Okay.
It was the same company, Mark Putty. Yeah, Mark Putty, who does these amazing animations. Yeah, so I was that one I was a pencil. Okay. It's Pocket Protectors, again, investigating murders, I think.
Murders and pencils.
Yeah, yeah,
Pencils have been sharpened without being used.
Mm-hmm. Assault, yeah, basically.
Yeah. It's good. Okay, well, it's nice to know.
Blast in the past.
I watch a lot of kids' TV. We had Jess Robinson from Noddy Toyland Detective on the other week. So, you know,
she's on Toyland. Why are all of the children's shows going so gritty?
I don't know. It's
Detective?
Yeah.
What's Toyland Detective?
She plays Smartysaurus. Well, Noddy goes around Toyland trying to solve crimes, can't find out who did it, and just says the Gollywogs did it. So it's...
Wow.
It's very true to the original books. It's very true. That's what I liked. They've got rid of most
naughty.
Of the characters. They call Big Ears Mr. Squeaks, isn't it?
Oh, we all know what his real name is.
Really annoys me.
What other ones do you watch?
Everything. My daughter likes Super Monsters. Do you know Super Monsters?
No.
I mean, you haven't got kids, so it's unlikely you've seen
Patrol
through. Yeah,
I've heard of things, you know.
Well, not these things, so they're all on
They're all new,
Netflix.
Though. Do you find that they're shit, more shit than what you had when you were younger?
I don't know. I think they're better.
Really?
My daughter did her first bit of stand-up about Super Monsters, because in Super Monsters...
Your daughter did stand-up?
Yeah, well, she in Super Monsters, it starts, and they all go... They turn into monsters, and they go, Drax, Frankie! And then at the end, when they turn back... To two kids, they do the same thing again.
Oh.
And she turned to me and said, why do them keep saying their names? Why do they... And then she did that every time. Why do them keep saying their names?
In front of a tiny brick wall. That's great, yeah.
But I would do it back to her, and now I still do it back to her, and she just looks at me like I'm crazy. She's forgotten.
Because you're
forgotten.
Stealing her material. That's clearly what she's pissed off.
She's forgotten a bit. Now she goes, no, I understand why they're saying their names, because they're...
She sounds fantastic. You should have her on the podcast.
To be honest, believe me, we're working through the family one by one. So it's going to happen. So, well, look, I'd say you're kind of a new sensational comedian, but you've been doing...
No one here knows who I am.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
They
no,
do.
They don't. I don't think so.
They do.
You? Nish. That's basically it.
You won the big comedy prize. Everyone knows you. But you've been doing comedy for like 12 years.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem humanly possible.
10-ish years? Yeah. 10
years. So you started when you were like 15?
11 years. Yeah, 15. About 15, yeah. So, I started doing comedy then, I guess. But that's, you know, just the first like open mics and stuff you do. And, you know, it doesn't
really matter. No one does it at 50. I mean, like occasionally you get kids doing stand-up, but it's hard.
Yeah, and they're always fucking dickheads as well. Yeah, and they are. And I was probably an absolute asshole. It's a very, very precocious thing to do comedy at such a young age. I had braces. I had a lot of thoughts and ideas, and no one really wanted to listen to them. But I had enough confidence to get out there. But no, yeah, I started when I was 15. It was sort of part of a school program that the Comedy Festival in New Zealand do. They do a similar thing in Melbourne where they get like a school holiday program for kids who have no friends to hang out with during the holidays. And they put them through this like two-week-long kind of boot camp with comedy. Funnily enough, when I was 15, I got my first ever set as a hidden link on YouTube. No one can ever see it.
They've got a sort of funny way of speaking over there. I was taking the piss.
Oh yeah, so you fucking colonise our country and then make fun of the way we talk. Yeah. That's get fucked. Set. Absolutely get fucked. So my first set is on YouTube, and
who's being racist? That's racist. that's not how we say it. We say it right.
I went back, and what was the most disappointing thing is that I went back and I was like, shit, some of this is actually better than the stuff I write now. I was like, God, I had a very unique comedic voice. But when I was 15, it was the first ever set I did, and Mark Watson was the celebrity kind of judge who deemed me the winner of that competition. And so, wow. Yeah. So, it was very funny that he was there for the first ever gig, and I saw him last week.
Did you know him from improvisation, my dear Mark Watson?
I did not.
New Zealand improvisation, my dear Mark Watson.
Huge, huge New Zealand. That and Alo Alo. That's genuinely the most what we got of British comedy, though. It's very funny. Like, we got the weirdest stuff, because obviously there was only a little bit that we could get on television there. So our idea of British comedy from New Zealand is, like, pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird. It's like Fawlty Towers and Hello, hello. Basically,
that's
those are
basically
the
it. That's basically it's one or the other. More or less, all we've got variations on that. So let's talk. You're the third guest I've had out of the 191 guests I've had so far, and some of them are doubles, who lives in the same house in Shepherd's Bush that backs onto my house.
Yes,
in
this
Shepherd's
true.
Bush.
This is true.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't cast the net wide on this thing. Two of them are on this week. That's
crazy.
But that's sort of. Obviously,
it's
it was
really weird. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
a kind of comedian's house. So Stuart Goldsmith was in there.
I replaced Stuart Goldsmith.
You were the replacement.
That's when I first moved here. I moved in with Nish.
I've always said they should never replace Stuart Goldsmith with a woman. That is wrong.
PC gone mad. Yes. God damn it. No, yeah. So I took over his old room.
Yeah.
How was it?
What state was it in when you took it on?
Very, very good.
Was
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Nothing left. No, but no. He did move all the stuff out. No. Thankfully. Good. Yeah, no, it was good. It's a very nice flat.
And you live with the Nish Kumar, who may talk
Nish
with
Kumar,
next
yes.
week.
Yeah. He's a good flatmate.
Is he?
We eat on Nando's. That's all I'll say. There's a Nando's, like, you know this, across the road from our house. And they know our order, which is quite depressing. It's very depressing. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you backstage, there was a shooting in that Nando's in 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone was murdered in that Nando's, which... You know, I thought
but
get
now
me
everyone
a
gets
cheaper house than I got, I have to say.
Yeah.
Being close to that.
But now everyone gets free olives. Yeah. So that's a joke. Nando's would never do that. That would be a nightmare business model.
So did you ever see me in the... There was a crossover.
No, I really hoped it would, because my bedroom kind of backed on to the backs of your house. So it was very Jimmy Stewart in Rear Window, kind of, trying to suss you out, find where you were. Never found you, though.
No. I was right at the window with my cock out.
Yeah, I know.
Waving
it
around.
It's always the last place you look, right in front of you. Turn around, you're in the house. So it's crazy. Do you think anyone's ever seen you proper naked in a house?
I hope so. I hope my wife has. I was naked for about the first 14 years of my life.
What?
The minute I got home, I would just take all my clothes off. Even as, you know, really too much too
How
old.
How confident a child were you? Well, was it embraced in your household?
I was allowed to do it, yeah. I remember my Auntie Jean.
Yeah, allowed, came. Not encouraged.
My Auntie Jean came over one time and was a bit like, I think it's a bit too old for this now.
Was everyone naked?
No.
Just you?
Just me, I don't like wearing, I don't see why I should. So I still do walk around naked quite a lot.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Does anyone walk around? By
all
sure,
of this lot.
Take off your clothes if you take.
Half
if you
of
walk
them
around naked.
Now, yeah.
Put your money where your mouth is.
How long did you walk around naked in your house, David? Until what age did you walk around naked till?
Two.
Legend.
Andy McH.
10.
10, yeah.
10?
Yeah.
Holy shit, this is wild.
I had some good junk there and wanted people to have a look and see what I was.
I would safely say I have a friend who really wants to have, as an adult, a pro waist, like for girls, towel around the waist household. Boobs out.
Right, okay.
Make it normal.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I'm inching my way down every shower, but. But no, it terrifies me to walk. The idea of walking around naked. Shit, should I get into it? I don't know.
It's just more convenient. You don't have to put clothes on.
Don't you get cold?
Nah. I'm pretty fat. Just eat some more food. If you get, just eat some butter. If you get. Oh. Well, it's lovely to have another of the Shepherd's Bush.
Yes,
Nish
yes.
still lives in a house, so we can't give too much away about his secret location.
Yeah, secret location of.
There's some French people live in my house now. I don't know if you ever saw them.
Holy shit!
Yeah, they're always naked.
They're going to find it now with all the Nandos and the French flag outside. They're going to hunt Nish Kumar down. That's cool. Have you met them?
No.
Okay.
Because they live in my old house.
Surely you meet them.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Hand over the keys?
No.
Get your dick out.
I left that to the estate agent. Take my keys, you French. But they won't be there.
Such relatable material as
they
well.
I'm trying to think of how to say take my keys in French, but I can't think of any of the words of any. Clef.
Yeah, sure.
Take-ay les clef. Prendez les clef. Prenez-vous les clefs, s'il vous plaît? Got a few French viewers in as a result of that, so that's good. Far from the racism beforehand. Well, let's talk about your heritage. What I love about your heritage is I don't think this could have happened at any other point in human history.
What?
Well, you're half Samoan,
yeah.
One quarter Croatian, one quarter Scottish.
Yes.
Come
that's
on.
That's how we do it in New Zealand, baby.
Come on.
We're a mountain pot. That's the mix. Yeah, well, that's what you get in New Zealand. Lots of Polynesian culture and immigrants from
not so much Croatian culture.
Yeah, well, no, the Croatians came down in two big waves, and actually they all came down, Serbians and Croatians, and they all kind of started mixing and mingling and started calling themselves Dalmatians. So I always refer to myself as quarter Dalmatian, and people make fun of that. So that's a wonderful new facet of racism I've been exposed to in my life. But so they came down, and a bunch of them came down.
Right.
My great grandfather, yeah. And
you said you were at Luton Airport going to Croatia. Do you go back to Croatia a lot?
There was the first time I ever went. Right. I went one place, didn't go to the place where my grandparents were born. Fuck that. I went to a lovely little fishing village for 3 days where they filmed Made in Chelsea. So that was my heritage trip. That was wonderful. But I know I should go back and figure out where I'm from,
It's interesting.
Find myself.
Croatia's almost the most. No one talks about the Croatian bit of you very much, in my experience.
Bit of me?
Yeah, because people are kind of interested in you being Scottish. You're kind of called Scottish Samoan.
They all came down to dig for Cody gum in New Zealand. Lots of the Croatians, and they make wine down in New Zealand. Good wine country in New Zealand. My nickname's Ruja for my mum because. Okay. It's only okay. The only two Croatian words I know are my nickname and muchi, which is shut up. So that's basically the extent of my heritage. But okay. Yeah, but no, Croatians. Got any Croatians in the crowd? There was the clearly not. It was very awkward at the World Cup though.
Yeah,
I had to stay home, go for Croatia by myself. It was very sad. I got very drunk.
No, I can't remember. Was that the one that was?
It was a big one.
Was it the one that
England, one. Big
was
one?
The one that England won 5-1 or did we lost? No, you beat us.
No, yeah, we beat you. Yeah. And it was...
So the Scottish part of you was doubly happy.
Yeah, I was over the moon. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, good. Well, that's you grew up in Auckland. This is a very easy question that I ask about. You're going to get this.
Uh-huh.
It's too easy. What's the tallest building in Auckland?
The Sky Tower.
Yeah.
Why is that easy? Did anyone know that?
Because it's the tallest building in the Southern Hemisphere.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. Shit. I should know that.
It's over 7 metres tall.
Yeah. Ha, 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 ha. I'm from a tiny country at the bottom. It's a revolving restaurant, though. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
At the top of Sky Tower, you get very sick because you're revolving very slowly around the Sky Tower, and it's hell.
What's the best thing in Auckland that for people to go and look at?
Best thing in Auckland, maybe Kelly Tarleton's, which is a aquarium. Nah, okay. It's not that good, actually. it's not as good. No, it's a bit worrying, the penguins enclosure. And there's a lot of carpet where I was like, don't have carpet in an aquarium. What the fuck's up with that? What is that? That's a nightmare. It's like when you have carpet in a bathroom.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Have you ever been... Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, when I moved into my house in Shepherd's Bush, there was carpet in the bathroom.
What?
Yeah, not for long, don't worry.
You ripped that up.
Yeah. Lovely. I don't want carpet with someone else's wee all over it. And definitely not with my wee all over it.
So you weed on it and pulled it out. Yeah. That's great.
Just weed on it till it just disintegrated.
That's not the best thing in Auckland. Probably just go up a mountain, and any mountain. There's not much. There is, I don't know. This is
come on, this you got to sell
New Zealand. Go to a beach.
Okay.
Go to a beach.
We've got beaches here.
Nah, not
Western Supermare.
As if. Not as nice as New Zealand. Are you crapping me?
I'd like to apologise to people of Western Supermare. It's one of the nicest estuary beaches. I mean, there's...
Have you ever been to New Zealand?
As long as the sea's in, it's okay in Western Supermare.
Have you ever been to New Zealand?
I haven't, no.
Oh, man, you got to go.
It's a long way away, isn't it? I think it's a long way to go.
It's the furthest away.
It is. I've been to Fiji, and I've been to...
Oh, wow, close enough.
Which is close, and I've been to Australia, which I understand is similar similar to New Zealand.
Very similar. you should go to New Zealand. It's okay. Very nice.
I've got two kids. I can't go anywhere anymore. I had my chance. I had the 40 years to go to New Zealand, and I didn't take that chance.
How old are you going to wait for them to get before you...
Well, I will be dead. There's no way I'm getting to... I'd have to be like 70, and I'm not going to go to New Zealand when I'm 70, am I?
Even if
they got like teleportation by then... Still too much effort.
If they had teleportation by then, you wouldn't even be bothered to go to New Zealand. They have the marvel, the scientific marvel of inventing teleportation, and you're still going to go like, no.
No.
Can't
go to Western Supermare. It's good enough for me.
Can't believe it.
That's where the ladybirds came, Western Supermare. That must be why it's on my mind. They've got literally Western Supermare Beach. Once the sea, it's not the sea, it's a river. Once it goes out.
Yeah.
It's literally mud.
All
there's
mud.
There's a bit of sand, and then it's a pier, and then it's literally mud.
All
and
mud.
You walk out, and then you get stuck in the mud, and then the sea comes back. And
you
drown.
Chose that as the beach to represent how good.
Yeah. I've seen Lord of the Rings, so I reckon I know pretty much everything about New Zealand.
Where the fuck is there a beach in there?
That's what New Zealand is.
There's no beaches in Lord of the Rings. There's a river.
Yeah.
There's that bit where the fellowship disbands.
About the mountain with the wah, wah. I've seen that. Wah.
And is that what you think a beach is?
Yeah. That's the best thing in New Zealand.
That's taller than the Sky Tower, actually.
I guess it's not a man-made
Mount
something.
Doom.
It's made by a Sauron, whatever he is. What is he?
Sauron, yeah.
Yeah, he's a sour one.
That's my heritage you're talking about, actually. So how dare you?
think they'd filmed it in New Zealand just because of Auckland, like, so they could just go Auckland.
Yeah, I think that was the reason.
Yeah, I think that was. Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
They could get the sign. Yeah.
So let's talk about your award-winning show. Just the age of 26, she's won the Edinburgh Award. I'm 51. It hasn't happened for me yet, but... Fingers crossed. Horn Dog.
Yeah.
So you're touring this as well in the new year?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. We're doing it in the...
I'm doing it in London. Yeah, I'm doing it in London. But I did another 2 weeks of it, right after Edinburgh. And, okay. Yeah, I might take
you
it
You really got to tour it. Why are you not going to tour it?
I've never toured before. And
Give it a go.
And it requires a projector. And that's a fucking hassle, isn't it? Have you ever tried to set up a projector in a rural town? Yeah. It's hectic.
You've got to take someone who can do it. I've had a projector in a couple of my shows. You
really?
Need to just take someone with you. Can
see? I've never done that. I've done
get them to drive the car.
Yeah,
and give them. You're gonna have to give them like 150 quid.
If that. Maybe 100 and some nice words in the car. I should actually tour. No, I don't know. I've done it quite a lot now. I did it in Melbourne and then I did it in Edinburgh. So nearly 100 times, probably nearly cool. Ending up 100 times.
100 times.
About 100.
It's a lot. Move on, do something else.
I know, yeah. Well, that's what I feel like, to be fair.
Except at the Soho Theatre in January.
In January, I'm doing two more weeks, which will be exciting, fantastic. Yeah. I love doing it. It's fun.
What is the premise of this? Is it themed around...
The premise is it's just a stand-up show, really. It's. Let's be honest. The name is atrocious. and I certainly didn't imagine... Like, I think that shows... It's a reflection of how little ambition I had for the show... In the sense that I certainly didn't imagine it being engraved on a thing next to my name, which is now in my room, that says Rose Musselfell Horn Dog.
That's an award.
That's literally the name that's gone down in some sort of history as one having won something.
Yeah.
But the whole show is just about how it was kind of inspired by how I think of the concept of horniness, I think, is a concept I was really interested in the sense that I think I am a very obsessive person and I put a lot of effort into things. As you know, starting comedy at 15 and stuff, like that's the mind of a very weird person, I guess. But it's kind of about how I throw myself into things and I go hard or I go home. And so that's basically the premise of it, is that I have a lot of time on my hands and very in particular interests.
That's fair enough.
Like learning K-pop dances in my room alone as a 26-year-old adult woman. Yeah. So, yeah.
I clear stones off a field. So.
Do you? Is that your hobby?
That's what I do as my hobby. So, you know, nothing you can say can can make these people feel sorry for you. I was watching clips of your stand-up on YouTube and various things today, and it's very interesting to see. You're very open about sexuality and female things, which I think is
that's what we call them.
Female things.
Hey, and can I say,
which I am
you,
not.
That came off really well. Just I'm that you've nailed that.
Let's edit that out.
Female things. Sentence is the equivalent of like getting a dad getting their mum to buy tampons at the supermarket.
Well, I am now at that stage of my life, I have to say, where it's all. But you know, you do. Well, it's interesting because you talk about periods and birth control and things like that. And
yes.
Traditionally, and I was thinking about this because they're great routines and they're also routines that. As a man, the things that I haven't considered. So you do stuff about birth control, about the psychological effects and the side effects of birth control.
Yeah.
There's a great routine about talking about length of periods, about the women who show off about having 3-day periods as opposed to 5-day periods, which as a man you don't really think about.
Yeah.
But I know about, but it's really interesting to see. But also there's that kind of stereotype of, and certainly when I started, with female comedians only talk about this. And then, but that was a way of like closing women and their experience down, wasn't it? It was like saying, oh, you're not allowed, men are allowed to talk about their dicks as much as they want, but
100%.
women aren't allowed to
do observational routines about this stuff.
Yeah.
And so actually nobody does those routines really hard.
No, I think I'm lucky enough to have come up in a time where I think a lot of amazing women who did comedy got so much shit for that, and they had to bear so much of that because they were the minority in that room, you know, in terms of gender, and they had to put up with so much of that crap where, in a way, I think a lot of them perhaps stop doing that kind of material or kind of disassociated from that or speaking about their experience of those things. And I was lucky enough to come up in a time where I was able to talk about that stuff without that pressure of that being a typically, you know, female comedian thing to do.
Sure.
I just genuinely had no qualms about talking about that stuff, but that perhaps is more indicative of the kind of safe environment I started comedy in. But and the audiences who are just more receptive to it, and people who are just less like, you can call out an audience for like having it, taking issue with that. It's like, what the fuck, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it is, it really struck me how much that shut, you know, and you see it still if you look at any female comedians, the comments on, and there's an article about you in The Guardian, which is a nice review in The Guardian, and all the comments underneath are just men going, oh, a woman talking about this. And it's just men.
I didn't read those comments, Richard. So,
I won't tell you what that
is. I can't wait to go home and spiral.
But it's just so disappointing to see, you know, but the men shutting down going, oh, this isn't my experience, so therefore I don't want to watch it. And you sort of think how much that was the case, you know, in those days.
100%.
You know, 20, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, where someone in an audience is going, oh, this isn't aimed directly at my experience, therefore I'm going to shut it down.
I think that those kind of commenters are just, I love it that to be actually angry not to be spoken to by every person in every medium.
Yeah.
Like, not everything is made for you. Like, how many fucking girlfriends have to go to Pacific Rim with their boyfriends and be like, you know what I mean? Like, not necessarily like, any, you know, like you forget how much of mainstream culture is catered towards men. And because it's the default, people don't recognize that until... I think especially my experience of doing any material that's particular to my experience of being a 26-year-old woman is that you do a joke and there is a certain pocket of the crowd who will laugh much harder because they haven't been spoken to previously and I guess mainstream comedy. And it's an amazing thing to feel connected to people in that way, you know what I mean? It's to feel like, people haven't been spoken to in that way. And that's what happens when you have more... I don't know, diverse voices on stages, really.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And I think I saw you in an interview saying a man had come up to you afterwards and saying, oh, my girlfriend's on birth control and I'm taking her off birth control tomorrow as a result.
He was wasted. I think he may have regretted that in the morning. But yeah, he freaked out. But like, but there are a lot of people who, after those shows, are like, it's just because but they haven't heard that those kind of takes on it, then, if you're not exposed to it. But it's funny, interesting, they say, you know, like, I think every generation, though, especially with women doing comedy, I think there's different things that people get furious about them talking. It's a constant censorship of what they're saying. Like, if it's not, you know, talking about periods or talking about, you know, like, I guess in the 90s, I feel like it was like, why are all these women just talking about this shit? I think even now...
But they kind of weren't, that's the thing, is they weren't.
Well, like, yeah.
A, there weren't any, you know, there was five female comedians and they wouldn't talk about those things anyway. So it's sort of, it's really bizarre that is, I just find it, and it took me to see that, like, oh, that stereotype is so ridiculous.
I feel like it still happens now, though. It's like, and particularly, I think sometimes, I think people take issue with women talking about their appearance, and so a lot of and it's kind of in that way of being like, why do women have to talk about their appearance on stage? You know, it does women down. You know, it's not about your appearance. It's like almost a woke type of kind of, you know, like telling a woman what to talk about. It happens a lot, but thankfully it's a lot easier. You still get the classic person after a gig being like, I usually hate female comedians, but you, darling, you are a rare diamond in the rough, you know? Being like, you are special, you're not like those other girls. And you get that so, every woman gets that. And it's just stupid and wild, and it's very hard to react to.
It's better than saying, I don't like female comedians, and you have confirmed.
yeah, yeah.
French.
I'd almost prefer that. Yeah, I'd almost prefer. Once I got after a gig in New Zealand, in like a small town in New Zealand, a drunk man in the car park was trying to talk to us the lineup, and it was he went, "Ah, thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Corey." The other two guys, I'm like, "Thanks, Jamie." And he looked at me. He went, "Thank you, Mrs. Skirt." I was wearing jeans, so you know, this is the vibe. We're still living it, guys.
Yeah. You weren't married.
I wasn't married. I was unmarried. I know. My God, I wish I could be a Mrs. Skirt. Just single old Ms. Klotz.
And when you won the Comedy Award, you're the New Zealand Prime Minister, who everyone, I mean, we know her name, so you don't need to... Jacinda Ardern.
Jacinda Ardern? What the fuck are you... How dare you?
Jacinda Ardern.
Jacinda.
Yeah.
Jacinda. She's cool.
She tweeted you to congratulate you.
Yeah, I know her.
Well, of course.
I know her. She's great.
Yeah.
She's been to see Nish's show. Honest to God, yeah. She went to see him. Yeah.
Did she tweet you, Nish?
No.
No. Any prime ministers ever tweeted you?
No.
Gutting. And when it happens, it'll be for the wrong reasons. she's super cool. She's a patron. She's the Minister of the Arts and Culture and stuff in New Zealand, and she's very hip. She goes to see comedy all the time.
Had a baby.
I know.
She was Prime Minister.
Know,
that's
incredible.
Pretty cool.
She's super cool, and she's actually just very, very good sense of humour as well.
Do you think Theresa May is still doing it?
Doing what? Fucking.
Yeah.
One. That's going to go down well on the podcast as well. What happened there? Yeah, it's horrific, isn't it? I hope she is, though. I mean, I wouldn't wish that upon anyone not having... I would hope she is having sex, so... You know. Not good sex, but, you know. Sex. Is that weird, me saying sex in the...
No, that's all right. We got used to it. We worked out sex is sex.
But that was cool, no. I was very... Sex. Oh, I'm Austin Powers. No. Oh, shagadelic, baby.
Very offensive. She's very, very offensive.
I love her. Austin Powers is genuinely my favourite film when I was a kid.
It's a good film.
A freaking good film. I saw it at the movie theatres with my nan.
Yeah.
And I wrote about it in my school book. It was 1999. I saw A Spy Who Shagged Me. I was 7 years old.
Right.
Yeah, full on, eh? It was awesome. Yeah.
What do you think about the Scottish character in the later films?
What, Goldmember?
Yeah.
Well, it was in 2 and 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
He nailed
stuff.
It, didn't he?
He absolutely nailed it.
If he hadn't nailed the Scottish thing enough with Shrek, he really got it. Maybe Shrek was from New Zealand and some half New Zealand.
Oh, it was directed by a New Zealander.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew Adamson.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Could be that. Could explain the accent. So,
probably.
Croatian Scot.
Yeah, Croatian Scot, weird mix, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You're the voice of the millennials.
No.
What's going on with all that? No. Explain. I'm 51.
No, thanks.
What's it all about?
I don't want to.
What's going on? You're
so you sound like you want to try to score some drugs or something. Hey, so, you know, what's up? What are you guys doing these days? What's up? No, I'm not the voice of millennial. I just happen to be, you know. I mean, yeah. I guess I'm official. I don't know what is a millennial. What's the official time frame? You know, the
I think you can be born in the 80s, can't you? Late 80s.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, sure.
So it's anyone who was a. Is there anyone who's turned an adult in the Twitter? I don't even know what it is. Let alone all the stupid things you believe in.
But so this is a point, though. I think that there should be enough. I feel like I belong to the, I guess, millennials as a group, but I think that there is an even smaller, there's a subset within that of generationally. Yeah. And I talk about it in my show in the sense that I belong to it. I'm on the cusp of being a person who remembers the world without the internet. I think that is the biggest generational gap, really, that we've got. Like, I remember, you know, you remember not having freaking like access to all of the information in the world at any given point. So, yeah. I feel very much the older end, the older end of the spectrum when it comes to, bless you, when it comes to, being
you can
young
only
end.
Just remember it though, can't you? Because there was the internet was in, you were born in...
I am from New Zealand.
92.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
Yeah, no, we got dial-up when I was probably about 7-ish. Okay. Yeah. But yeah.
So those first 7 years.
They were hell. They were hell on earth. Well, I remember, I know that this sounds, I know I'm 27, but I remember physically taking a cord out of the wall and putting it into a computer to load the trailer for Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. You know what I mean? Like that's, I think there's a gap between, you know, people who have grown up with it. Yeah. But no, I feel very uncomfortable with that title and I do not accept it.
I remember when if you were looking at a photo of something.
Yeah.
Whatever it happened to be. It would come like a line at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like not a trailer, a fucking photograph. It was quicker just to buy all the peanuts and get them off.
I remember the good old days where you discovered porn in a bush when you were doing cross country at school. That's how I discovered that.
We still got something in common then. That is good. She was born in 1992. Come on, David. Imagine that.
There are some people who were born in 1995, Richard.
No. I won't accept it.
Do you know that? I met one the other day. It was disgusting.
I won't accept it.
What were you doing in 92?
I was writing for the radio. I mean, you're 26. I was on TV by the time I was 26. I'm a wunderkind like you. But look at me. Look where you can end up. It's night. I started doing comedy. I wrote My Penis Can Sing when I was 15, I think. And I was doing comedy. We were doing radio shows in 92. I was writing for On The Hour. I was creating Alan Partridge in 1992.
Shit's sake.
I'll talk about this next week, but I was at the PTA quiz in my village this weekend.
Amazing.
This is what my life's become. And
awesome.
The guy next to me said, what would you prefer, the Fast Show or League of Gentlemen? I said, I think League of Gentlemen is the better. Yeah. He said, what do you think Steve Coogan's best character? And I said, it's Alan Partridge, obviously. So I said, I wrote the first things he ever said. He said, oh. Thought I'd get more. So obviously they're used to superstars in my Hertfordshire village. But we'll talk about that. I've got a good story about the quiz coming up next week. Wait till next week. It's better than the Stones. You've got a cat, I don't know if you still have, called Bert Bacharach.
Yes.
Did you not consider?
Well, Bert Bacharach on my shirt there.
Do you not consider calling it Bert Cataract?
With a cell like that, yeah. Surely I'll change his name What are you holding up?
Beer? I'm holding up a beer. I just thought that would be seeing I'd fucked up that joke. The reason I fucked that up is because of this Pilsner that comes from beer52.com. you can get 8 free beers. Imagine how fucked up you'd be if you...
You too can fuck up at your job.
The reason it's not Bert Cataract... But then it'd be like cataract.
Cataract, yeah. I don't want to wish that upon. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Well, really, but...
Bert back a cat.
Doesn't work.
Well, it works, baby. And it's happening.
It really does not work.
I once tried to meet him outside of one of his concerts. I waited for 2 hours to try and meet him at stage door.
Your cat or Bert Bacharach?
That's how I met my cat at the stage door. I was like, come on with me, man. Bert Bacharach, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Big fan. Mm, he seems like an asshole, but... But they were in the 60s, weren't they? You can't get around it. But big fan of Bert Bacharach.
You waited for 2 hours and he didn't turn up, or he turned up.
I think he slipped out real early and I missed him. Yeah, but yeah, went to that concert alone. Okay. And left alone, turns out. Not that I was trying to bone Bert Bacharach, that sounds weird. But yeah. I love it how we've already got down to the questions about my cat's name.
I think that's a good question.
No, it is a good question. Do you have a cat?
I've got a cat called Smithers. I had 2 cats, Lino and Smithers.
Oh, that's cool.
Lino died at 3 years old.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I saw the life drain out of her eyes as I strangled her. I mean, essentially, I paid a man to stick a needle in her.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's terrifying.
I held her paw as she died.
No! That's so sad.
It's the only thing I've ever literally seen die in front of me.
Really?
Well, I mean, you know, like, not the only thing. I killed a ladybird the other day.
Was it horrible?
Yeah, and I don't even like the cats that much, and I was really upset about it.
But it's a full-on thing to see.
Because their eyes,
they're
alive, and then... I can understand why serial killers get off on it now.
Because if that vet hadn't been there, you'd have been, been into it.
A lot of them start by killing small animals. She was so done now, I was very upset about Lina. I'd much rather it was Smithers, he's a prick. We got the prickish one.
Oh, do you think he's aware that you didn't love him as much?
He can't. He's deaf, so he can't hear.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Awful.
And I like the way that everyone's accepted that. Yeah, it's why he does. He couldn't hear what I was saying. It's fine. Charlie says. There we go. Take that, millennials. Fuck yeah, you're not going to get that. Not going to get that reference. Millennials from New Zealand.
I paid $1,000 to get my cat saved, basically. Yeah. He had to get a tooth operation, but yeah, I could have either put him down or paid $1,000 New Zealand, and I paid the money, and I regret it to this day.
Yeah.
Nah, he's all right.
It's a lot.
He's an asshole. He's an absolute asshole, my cat. I completely get it.
Yeah.
He's a dickhead.
I mean, my wife's made me love other things. That's what I don't like about her. I liked her.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like anyone else or anything else. And then she gave me pets that I then had to love, and then I did love. And then children, and I got to love them as well.
Sweetest thing I've ever heard.
I was happy, you know, not caring about anything.
Holy, just like the end of Love Actually or something. This is amazing.
Right, I've got a new emergency question for you based on my ladybird story that you may not have listened to.
I was listening to it.
Have you or do you suspect you've ever made love to an insect that has taken human form for a night?
Have, suspected, or hoped? No. Wait, hang on. Insect. An insect taking... So how human... Okay, so how much... Is it like kind of suspicious that it might be an insect?
Yeah. I think probably, you know...
You probably know,
I mean, if the answer is yes, I've made love to an insect that took human form for a night, I want to hear that story. But if that story does not come to mind, then
no.
Do you think you might have done? Is there anyone you think you've had sex with? Or
I've had sex with not many people, okay. So the pool is small already.
Who was the most insecty one?
Who was the most insecty? I'm just trying to think through my sexual history. Who, if the one of the, yeah, maybe a couple.
Yeah.
Very mysterious ones. No, right. I think I'd be okay with it. Well, I don't know. What I'm interested. Wait, would you not be okay with it if you found out that it was
an
insect
after all? Yeah. I'm not, it's not saying we had sex with an insect.
Yeah, absolutely. If after we had sex, the guy was like, oh, well, sorry, I should have mentioned this before. I'm actually an insect who has taken human form. Yeah. I'd be like, sweet.
Yeah. It's quite romantic.
It is kind of romantic, and I mean, thank you for telling me.
All these people watch, like, The Little Mermaid and think, oh, that's nice, the mermaid took human form for a bit or whatever it did.
Exactly.
I haven't seen it. you know, that's a fish taking human form and you're all cool with that.
What if it was a, I always think about this about like artificial intelligence and stuff and like the way the world's going. Like if you had sex with someone and then afterwards they were like, yo, I'm a robot.
Yeah. I haven't really thought about it. I haven't given much thought. I'd say, why didn't you tell me before? You fucking ruined the whole experience.
I could have saved it. No. Yeah, would you be okay? I feel like I'd be fine with
well,
it.
Like if, but I think if the robot had fallen in love with you as well, especially in, you know, broken its protocols in order to make love with you, that again, that's a very romantic thing.
Do you think a robot...
I've been programmed not to love or have sex, but I cannot resist.
Okay, I'm just questioning how you didn't know it was a robot before you fucked it, if it's speaking like that. No, seriously, Richard, I'm not a robot.
A lot of people are very intimidated when they meet me, so a lot of people... What is the largest number of insects that you've been attacked by at one time? Because I got like a whole load of ladybirds. I bet in New Zealand it must happen.
Yeah, probably.
Like, the insects are probably like as big as that, aren't they? And they're flying in.
Yeah, there are some as big as that. I'd say safely like 15.
15 insects?
Yes.
Which insect? What?
Probably flies or mosquitoes.
Flies.
You know, yeah.
Yeah,
flies.
Oh, yeah, of course, mosquitoes.
Lots of mosquitoes, yeah. That's the best thing about living in this country and nothing else is that there are no mosquitoes. And I get bit. I've once had over 100 mosquito bites on my body one time. Yeah, it's horrible, horrible stuff.
So you have made love with some insects.
Yeah.
They made love to me,
for sure.
Yeah. Do you remember when there used to be lots of midges? There aren't midges around in the same way, are there, David?
Midges.
In Scotland. They're in Scotland. They're out there. They're in Scotland, are the midges.
How do you make fun of how I speak and you call things midges? It's the craziest name for something. Midges. Is a midge smaller than a mosquito?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, and it's not, the bites aren't as bad, are they?
Yes, they are.
Are they?
Mm.
Yes, they are.
David, do they give you malaria and kill you?
Is that why you started wearing clothes when you were two?
What's happened to you with midges with you, David?
I breathe them in.
You breathe
really?
Them in?
Really? Yes. Oh my God, it's like the opposite of Green Mile. That's crazy.
And they bit you inside. Is that why they went down your throat and bit you? Yeah. And then they came out your willy.
When was this? How old were you when you breathed in these midges?
12.
About 12?
Yeah.
Shoot, man.
Has it stayed with you, Dave? Because, you know, you're like about 72 now, aren't you?
Never trust a midge.
Sorry to bring it up, David. If I'd known, I would have done a trigger warning at the beginning if I didn't. It's what these lot have, we have to do because of this lot. But we've gone to a safe...
Don't point at the half Samoa and say this lot. No. Yeah, well, RIP, that's, so sorry about the midges. That sucks. Yeah, we don't have that. Yeah, I guess we don't have a good up here.
What, do you have any good murderous insects or arachnids in New Zealand?
No, well, we got some dangerous spiders, but like it's pretty crazy how few like deadly things we have compared to Australia. Like we're very, very docile kind of flora and fauna in New Zealand. So very safe until the English came over and bought fucking stoats and weasels and shit. In their boats. Thanks for that, guys. And killed all of our native birds. So, you know.
Sky Tower, though.
That's true. Weigh it up. Revolving restaurant. Kiwi birds.
Yeah. Are there no kiwis in... There must be
They're
some.
They're endangered, yeah.
Are they?
But basically every bird is endangered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the idea that they brought... I think they brought stoats over and they're like, oh, what... Basically it was like whatever kills the bigger thing. Like, so possums are a predator in New Zealand as well. Okay. So, you know, they brought possums over to eat the stoats or whatever. I don't know. Really thought that through. Well,
it's like a whole country of the woman who swallowed a fly.
Exactly. That's what. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly it. What a dark story to tell to children, eh?
It is.
It's full on.
It is.
Yeah.
But I like that. They take too many dark things out of kids' stories now. We're talking this, I think, to Jess.
Yeah.
About how, like, Cinderella and stuff, it's all quite nice now. And
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the... I'll tell you what's a weird story, yeah. And that my daughter got brought back home from school was The Princess and the Pea.
Fucking weird. Like, what was she doing out in the rain as well? Like,
oh, in
was
the
she
rain?
Was she, was she, that's where she came into from to the castle, right?
Well, in the version my daughter has, which I don't... This shouldn't be a book in the 21st century. A prince is looking for a wife, but she has to be a princess to marry him.
Yeah.
Has to be a princess. And so he likes a girl, and his mum says, nope, she's not a princess, she can't marry her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's accurate.
Yeah.
It's actually not really in it with the current voice. But and then she puts the pea under lots of mattresses.
Yes.
And then but like, if I was that woman, I'd go, what's with all the mattresses?
Yeah, yeah. My first
this
question.
This is probably a test.
Free the pee question.
I reckon. A, is it not common knowledge that princesses can... If it's not common knowledge, how does this mother know about the princess and the pee thing?
Yeah, true.
But if
true.
It's common knowledge, just go, if you put in an unusual bed test, go, oh, yeah, blimey. Whoa. That hurt. Yeah, I'm a princess.
I really do love... I know what you're talking about, though, those old school ones where it's like, you read the real backstory of it, like The Little Mermaid, where it's like, the real ending of Little Mermaid is that she gets punished forever, and it feels like she's... So whenever she has the tail
yeah. And
the grim fairy tale, it's that she's got the feeling of dancing on glass. That's her punishment for trying to, like, not... Sorry, when she does... Yeah, she gets rid of her tail when she walks. It's like dark as hell.
Yeah.
Like, Rumpelstiltskin, that's messed up as hell. Do you guys have Rumpelstiltskin up here? Yeah, they made it up here?
Yeah, up here in the northern hemisphere. Yeah, we do.
I know. Who's just yelling their own name in the woods alone? That's what I want to know.
Again, if you set a test...
Yeah.
For people to find out your name.
Just hold back on. Just keep
just
still.
Wait.
Just
don't go down there.
Just not,
yes.
Just...
As long as they're not listening now. I love Rumpelstiltskin. I like it. This is good
Never
stuff.
Do I? Yeah.
This is really enjoying it.
Woo. Very good.
They told me it'd be a good idea to be sponsored by a beer company in my podcast until I lost the ability to speak. Hey, you met Amy Schumer. Did you meet lots of Hollywood stars, or was it only Amy Schumer? I saw you interviewing.
I used to work on a show called Jono and Ben back in New Zealand, where I did lots of press junkets and stuff. I did a segment called Speed Dating, so where I just would have speed dates with guests and stuff, and I did lots of press junkets with Americans. So Amy Schumer was one, and Bill Hader, and it was very fun, but very nerve wracking. I did a press junket for Dumb and Dumberer. The sequel. Did anyone see that? It's fucking shit. It is the worst film. I fell asleep in the screening, but I had to interview Jim Carrey
Did you tell
Daniels.
Him it was shit?
Yeah.
Imagine just gone. I've seen Dumb and Dumber. Right. It's fucking shit. Mate.
You've now. Torn down your legacy. Yeah. But that was full on.
Adam Sandler. Did you meet him?
No. I love how that was just a question. No, I never met Adam Sandler. Have you met Adam Sandler?
No, I dream of the day.
Really?
Yeah.
Big fan?
I've seen all of his films.
All of them?
Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah.
What's your favourite?
I mean, in what? By what?
You get to choose one comedy. What, The Cobbler.
The Cobbler is my favourite.
Don't mess with the Zohan?
The Witch?
Don't, oh, you call yourself a fan.
Oh, don't mess with the Zohan. I just can't understand what you're talking about. It's, don't say stuff with loads of vowels in it. That's all. That is.
And they say you're not censored in comedy as a woman these days.
I've seen Don't Mess With That.
Have you seen it?
I watched three at a time, so they're all the same. You've worked with those guys who do the commentary of Grown Ups too, the podcast.
Yes, Guy Montgomery and Tim Batt. Yes,
you've done podcasts with them. It's the same thing. I like watching. I wouldn't watch them 365 times a year or whatever they did. Was it once a month or once?
No, it was once a month. Once a week. So 52 times. But there was worse for the second season when we did Sex and the City 2.
Yeah,
and that was horrific.
I don't think it was as bad as Grown Ups 2.
No, it 100% is worse. Yeah,
they had
way longer. They had a way worse time doing it. They really did, because it's a horrific film. But yeah.
And you've worked with them on their new one is that they're doing a third series of a sort of drama this time.
It was Are Your Friends with Zac Efron in it. A really terrible one about him trying to be an EDM DJ. Or a couple of people saying, yeah, it's horrific. Okay. I think that was their worst season because it was almost like there was nothing to grab, you know. It was just so bad. It was so truly awful.
Get them to do The Cobbler.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, go back.
Who's seen The Cobbler? Has anyone seen The Cobbler?
It now on my recommendation. Have you seen it, David? You haven't seen The Cobbler? Call yourself a fan of Richard Herring. Richard Herring fan has watched The Cobbler.
What's the premise of The Cobbler?
Well, I talked to Nish about this last time he was on, I might talk to him about it again. I've talked about it many times.
Yeah.
In The Cobbler,
yeah.
Adam Sandler is a cobbler. His father was also a cobbler.
Yes.
And Adam Sandler discovers a cobbling machine at the back of the... that when you cobble someone's shoes on it, i.e. mend someone's shoes on it, and then put on their shoes, which no cobbler would do, by the way, or they'd be struck out from the National Cobbler Society, then you become the person. Which, you know, you have to have the same size feet as them. That's the only...
I can't wait for the dramatic remake with Daniel Day-Lewis. It'd be fantastic.
It's one of the least racist Adam Sandler films.
Hey, and there's something. That's good. That's a win in some way.
Though it's a little transphobic, I would say, in the current climate.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, Adam Sandler didn't know all that was going to change theme.
Yeah. Well, he made it 6 months.
For that. He didn't know gay people were going to become accepted either, you know.
Don't blame
when
the
he
Sandler,
made Chuck
man.
And Larry, he didn't know that it wouldn't be funny to be gay anymore. You would think that would always be funny.
Do you find that depressing when you go back and watch like some like comedy classics that you watched when you were a kid, and then you watch them again, you're like, holy shit, what is going on here? Like, there's some truly dodge stuff in it.
Yeah. It's a weird thing because you have to judge things by the time they were made in a little bit, I think. But it is.
Yeah.
But even like Monty Python, it's pretty sexist and racist. It's like there's a surprising amount of scantily clad women in Monty Python, which you wouldn't. And Spike Milligan was sort of obsessed with that as well.
Yeah.
So it's
even I was watching Peep Show the other day.
Right.
It was a full on like a, yeah it was a storyline. I was like, you would not get away with this. In this. As a borrowed phrase, current climate.
No.
Current climate is such a funny, such a dad. They're like, current climate.
Yeah. So your millennials' fault. You've destroyed comedy.
Yeah.
Why can't we just joke about everyone in a horrible way?
Just let us do that. You can still do it.
We can.
Yeah.
I'll ask you a proper emergency question, not my stupid insect based one. That was ridiculous thinking back on it.
No, I thought there were legs.
I'll try it again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this you probably have because you're from New Zealand. Question 289, have you ever met a shepherd? I mean, have you ever not met a shepherd? It's probably the New Zealand version.
I don't think I've met a shepherd.
You've never met a shepherd?
I met a farmer.
Not the same.
How do you know a person's a shepherd? I probably have met a shepherd. They just probably weren't worth forthcoming with the fact that they're a shepherd.
They've got a stick with a hook at the end.
Do you reckon shepherds always hold the shit?
Yes.
What I love is
Why would you become a shepherd and not walk around with a crook?
What I love is I'm looking over your shoulder into the book and just seeing a tiny illustration of a shepherd holding a little crook.
All right, here's a question for you. Like this one?
Yep.
If there are ever sex robots, as any right thinking person hopes,
yes,
would they be self-cleaning? Or would there be another small robot that would clean the sex robot? Or would there be a person whose job was to clean out the sex robot before the next person used it? Can you think of a worse job?
This is all about the context, because I would assume that if I've got a sex robot, that's like my sex robot, right? Right. I'm not going to like have a sex robot I share with other people.
Right. You're living in a dream world. They're going to be so expensive. You're going to have to either visit a sex robot brothel or have some kind of timeshare on the sex robot. Unless the sex robot from the brothel falls in love with you and says, I'm only going to make love with you because I'm overriding my program.
I think that's how it'd meet. I'd be the person who cleaned the sex robot at the brothel, and then one time the robot's like, "Hey, do you want to go for a coffee sometime?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, wow, sure." As I was cleaning out whatever they have, and then I'd break them out of the brothel.
Yeah, okay.
Is that an answer or just a fantasy?
Yeah, no, there are no wrong answers to the emergency questions.
Yeah, there's wrong answers, but not great answers. That was not a great answer.
Some not great questions.
I like that question.
We can't. It's,
how into sex robots are you as a concept?
Pretty much into it, but I didn't think they would.
Pretty much into it.
I didn't think they would. I didn't think they'd get. So I thought it'd be like 50 years' time, they'd be, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to have sex with like a blow up doll that just goes, I want to have sex with an indistinguishable,
sophisticated
robot. And then my wife comes in and goes, what are you doing? I go, it's all right. It's just a robot.
I went to a VR park in Japan, right? And have you done much virtual reality stuff?
I haven't, no.
I was doing a virtual reality stuff. It was fine. But I was like, holy shit, I could fall in love with a VR boyfriend. Honest to God. Like, that's how, I could probably do it. Like, because my expectations for a guy is if he shows me any type of attention, I'm like, sign me up. You know what I mean? So if it's a VR boy, I would probably fall in love. I'm scared for the future.
Yeah,
because I'm scared about what's going to happen to me romantically.
But how do you? Aren't they like? Would you have to put on like the gloves and the helmet and stuff? And
absolutely.
How does it work? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, although in Blade Runner 2049, it's a VR. It's like a hologram VR girlfriend that he has.
How'd you get into it?
Into it. Well, you have a surrogate, like in the film.
So a person.
Yeah, a person.
So you fuck a person while you're thinking of the virtual reality. I can do that already.
I'm sorry. How do you have sex, bro? Don't know how you do it up in England.
I hope my wife doesn't listen to any of this.
She doesn't, don't worry.
I hope she didn't listen to the one where I had her on. oh God!
This is going to be on the internet forever.
It's going to be what?
Like this as a record. This conversation is going to be out there forever.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be catalogued at the British Library.
That's the problem. We're going to send it out into space.
Yeah. What do you think the latest time that this podcast will be listened to is? How far in the future do you think this one?
I've been thinking about that because I do my own podcast, and I was like, "Fuck, hopefully not long, eh? Like, hopefully someone like unplugs something and all podcasts gets deleted because we've all said some horrible stuff on these things."
But there's so many of them that people won't hear them, so that's essentially the same thing.
I reckon I'd give it maybe 2070. Yeah.
Well, if you're listening to it after that, please email in RK. herring1967@gmail.com.
If you're listening to this in 2070, that'd be awesome. But cool of those who listen to it in 2069, am I right?
Here's a question from New Zealand, so you'll be able to answer this one.
From New Zealand, okay.
What is the biggest animal whose life you have saved?
I don't know if I've saved a cat. The cat. The cat. I've saved his life. That's a full-on question.
Thank you. I don't think I've gone bigger than a ladybird.
Comes back to the ladybird full circle. I love that.
Oh, right, I've got a good question for you. I've got an idea for a sitcom called The Horny Time Traveller.
This
is right up your alley. So if you could travel, if you're the Horn Dog Time Traveller, which could be the New Zealand franchise of it.
What, I don't get an audition for the one up here?
No, you have to do. You have to do your one.
What?
Because otherwise people won't be able to understand what anyone's saying in it. So it's mainly going to be.
I can do your accent.
It's mainly going to be vowels because it's just. And if you're doing the wrong vowel sound, People won't understand what's
happening. I'm an horny time traveller. Lost my mojo, innit? Yeah, baby.
All right,
yeah.
You've got the role. If you were the horny time traveller and could travel anywhere in time and have sex with any historical figure, would you have sex with in
honest
history?
Honest to God, this is my favourite question of all time. A historical figure in history.
Yeah. I mean, it could be someone in the present. It could just be someone in the present day. They're still in history or in the future.
Yeah, you're just using an ex-boyfriend. Historical figure. Cleopatra.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, branch out.
Yeah, why not?
First experience with a girl, why not be Cleopatra? I think she'd be hot, right? So Cleopatra.
Well, I mean,
maybe?
No, she was all right, I think.
What do you mean she was all right?
She was all right. I think the truth of the matter is she probably wasn't all that attractive if you look into the real history of it.
Oh,
and
you know,
also
one person.
Tastes have changed so much, you know.
I would actually love to see how blue Rasputin's eyes were.
Okay.
So maybe, but I wouldn't want to fuck him. I wouldn't want to fuck him.
Yeah, but he would make you, though.
Yeah.
With his charisma.
He would make you. Time's up, Rasputin. Time's up. That is easily the worst thing I've ever said in my entire life. Historical figure. But the thing is, when you say historical figure, you only just think of the bad people in history. You know what I mean?
I think of the nice people.
Like who?
I would have sex with Anne Boleyn. He was very nice. Had
very
six,
nice.
Six fingers.
Do you reckon she was hot?
Just the six fingers would do for me. Just this one.
What's she
a little
doing?
Bit of extra stretch.
For what reason? What about Charlie Chaplin?
Yeah, well, it's not my taste, but you know, give it a go.
What are you're really doing my ideas down, and Anne Boleyn. Oh,
you're
okay,
allowed
right.
to. You're allowed to. Have
no,
sex
I feel
Chaplin.
I feel embarrassed and insecure about my taste and historical figures. I don't
Would
know.
Would you have sex with Charlie Chaplin as him or him dressed up as
he
the
definitely
tramp?
Has to be dressed up as a tramp.
So the little moustache.
Yeah. Oh, Buster Keaton. I'd love to have. No, Gene Kelly. Who? So I mean, yeah, hugely Gene Kelly, the greatest ass in the game.
Okay.
You check that shit out tonight. Go on YouTube. He's got an impeccable ass. Yeah. And I'd love to have sex with him.
Okay, that's a fine answer.
I feel
Do you
like
think
a
he'd
creep.
Be upset
like
that you had sex
you know
with Charlie
like
Chaplin and Buster Keaton first?
I feel like I could creep because you see him in colour films and I think it's too close to home. You know what I mean? Like it's too
modern.
Yeah, it's too modern, yeah. I feel like feasibly it could have happened.
Yeah.
Like when did Gene Kelly die? Probably 94, you know?
I'm not sure about that. Anyone know when Gene Kelly died, David? You're my Gene Kelly go-to expert. Did he live a long time? I don't know if he was...
He lived a relatively long time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, okay, Gene Kelly, and you've got Anne Boleyn.
Okay.
I feel like you're imagining it now. That's...
I am having to think about it. Do you know who egged my house in Shepherd's Bush at the back?
When did it happen?
I think it was before your time.
Yeah, I think so.
Because Goldsmith was still there.
Maybe it was Stuart Goldsmith's last hurrah.
I think it might have been. Maybe he was just getting rid of his eggs.
How many eggs
before you moved
egg
in?
With?
Huh?
Why did people egg your house? How many eggs?
There were some eggs thrown in my back garden by, I think, probably the kids next door.
That's awful, man.
Yeah.
That's hugely awful.
Someone did a shit on my doorstep as well.
What?
Was that you?
How do you know that they did the shit on the doorstep or it was transported to... Transferred
you could
to
tell. By the way, it's
settled.
Slid.
Yeah. Perfect.
It was just Beautiful. Inside. If you go to my house, if you go and have a look. Oh, and you can't anymore. Well, you can. I mean, it's a bit of a trip. Yeah. Just to see where some shit once was.
There's going to be a blue plaque there saying, Rose shat on this doorstep.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't need to go because you were there. You did it.
No, I don't think I could. I would never do that to you, man.
No, thank you. That's good to know. Good.
Yeah, it was absolutely Nish Kumar. That's.
I think
you
it,
know,
yeah.
Why would that be? It's on brand, you know.
So, has winning the award made a big difference in how things have gone?
No, I did nothing today. it's been good. It's been nice. No, not really. It's just a big weird thing, but it's a very surreal thing that ultimately doesn't. You know, it doesn't change much, but I still want to. Keep making shows and stuff. It's just random, really. It was very, very strange.
Well, I mean, it's incredibly impressive to win it now because there's so many shows, and I think the standard is very. You know, when I went to Edinburgh for a day, and saw two shows, and they were both just amazing.
Yeah, and that was the thing, is that the all of the nominees this year as well, it was just like amazing to be part of that group, because they were all just genuinely people that I just think are incredible. Yeah, it's just, it's very cool.
But, is it, you know, does it feel like a millstone a little bit than the expectation, or is it?
Yeah, a bit more like pressure, I think, to do good. I really like that, but I put enough pressure on myself, I think. But yeah, it is a bit of an expectation, I think. But I won't complain about it, and I won't give it back either, because that'd be gutting to do. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing, but yeah. But it's very nice.
Good. Yeah. Well,
that's the most New Zealand answer of all time. Yeah, it's fucking cool, but I'm still a piece of shit.
Well, I would like to get into that. We've kind of slightly run out of time, and I was going to get into some more stuff, but you know. Fuck Nish Kumar. He wasn't even the... I didn't really want him to... I wanted Michael.
It's crazy.
I thought it was going to be Michael Sheen.
I thought it was going to be Michael Sheen. I mean, imagine, do you know how much of a fan of Michael Sheen I am?
I know, me too.
It's crazy. And I was going to talk to him about Frost really Nixon, and I was so excited.
And then I booked someone you used to...
Yeah. And it's worse for you. I see him all the time. I saw him last week.
Yeah.
What is this?
Sorry.
It's gutting. It's absolutely gutting. No, big fan, big
imagine
fan.
Imagine how the audience feel.
No, he said, yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Sorry, Nish. Feel bad about that.
He could take it. Well, look, I think we'll and you play, what the best thing about your show that I've heard of, because I haven't seen it yet and I'm going to come and see it, is it a spoiler to say that you play ping pong at the beginning?
Yeah, I do.
It's just also you invite people in the audience to play ping pong with you at the start of the show.
Yeah, it's a slash at a table from Argos, kids three quarter size table. Horrific ping pong played on it, but super fun. I love doing stuff. Like my last show, I had a label maker, a Dymo label maker, and I'd make labels for people, because I hate being backstage before a show, because I feel like it's the most kind of embarrassing, truly embarrassing thing as a stand-up, to like amp yourself up for a show and be like, like you're fucking Eddie Murphy, and like, you know, like, yeah, I'm gonna go do a show. So I think it's a very nice way of starting a show.
Fantastic. I mean, do you ever feel like just playing ping pong for the full hour?
Completely. I very much always go over, like, yeah, people are like, you need to wrap this up now. But it's awkward because I have to fold up the table myself, so that takes a bit of time as well. But nah, it's super fun. You should come and play with me.
I will go. I'm gonna come and play with you. If I was doing it, I would play everyone in the audience and only do the comedy once I'd beaten everyone. So it will be a very, very long show. Try and do a podcast of playing yourself at ping pong. It'll work. It'll work well.
There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, do go and see Rose at the Soho Theatre in January, or wherever you listen to this in 2070.
Yes. What
do
you think? Or 2070. I mean,
you will be working in 2070, probably. So go and see Rose in 2070, if you're the person listening in 2070.
It's 2070, yeah. Oh, will I be working? I won't be alive. Fuck.
You'll be alive. You're young. Way. You're young. I'll be 103 or something in 2070. Well, I'm still going.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, fuck. Got the stones to clear. I can't die. I can't die now. Ladies and gentlemen, Rose Matafeo! You have been listening to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Rose Matafeo. The music, as always, is by Pest. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, to everyone at the British Comedy Guide, to everyone at GoFasterStripe.com. They're all very good. I'm indebted to my producer, who's called Ben Walker, but I'm more indebted to this week's executive producer. Did a very good job and doesn't have a funny name at all. He is called Ian Pouncey. He's a good executive producer. Anyway, that's all I know. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Hooray!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.